All right, for our second presentation this afternoon, The Fox Chase, Tracking Members of Paddy Killoran's Irish Orchestra by Jeff Kazek. Jeff Kazek is the archivist at the Ward Irish Music Archives, the largest public collection of Irish music in North America, housed at the Milwaukee Irish Fest Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Holding a BA in Music Performance from Cornell College and a MLIS from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, he frequently presents on various subjects relating to the history of Irish traditional music. He also performs across the Midwest with the band Ahaus and teaches Irish music on guitar, bouzouki, and tin whistle. Please welcome Jeff Kazek.
Thank you, Barry, and thank you, Joshua, for that great presentation to start things off. Paddy Killoran is revered as one of the great exponents of the Sligo fiddle style of Irish music during the 78 RPM era. After emigrating to New York in the 1920s, Killoran recorded a number of solo and duets with fiddler Paddy Sweeney that have remained influential to this day. He also worked and recorded as a bandleader with various ensembles under a variety of different names. These bands produced a number of instrumental recordings as well as providing orchestration for several Irish singers of the time. Killoran's ensembles also performed regularly on radio broadcasts and in the dance halls of New York City. However, little is known of the fellow musicians Killoran worked and recorded with in these larger ensembles. With the lack of documentation from studios of the time, the lives and careers of Killoran's bandmates remain largely hidden. I originally began this process attempting to find pictures of an early guitar player from Irish music, which led me to this image of Paddy Killoran's Irish Orchestra. This began my hunt to identify the musicians, only knowing two in the beginning, Paddy Killoran himself, who is just to the left of the sign, and Paddy Sweeney, who is the fiddle player on the far right. Through images, historical documents, recollections, and sound recordings, we will examine Paddy Killoran's Irish Orchestra and focus on the lives and careers of two sidemen that have now been identified, Michael Andrews and Paul Ryan. We'll start by just doing an overview about Killoran's bands and the music they performed. Killoran is well known in the world of Irish traditional music, and just as a caveat, when I'm talking about Irish traditional music, and speaking primarily of the instrumental dance tune tradition, so it'd be jigs and reels and hornpipes that were used to accompany Irish social dancing as well as more of the performance dance we know of today from river dance. Killoran was born near Ballymote, County Sligo, in the western part of Ireland in 1904, and he emigrated to New York in 1925. Killoran and fellow Sligo fiddle players James Morrison and Michael Coleman were at the epicenter of the ethnic recording boom of the 20s and 30s. They are remembered to this day for their numerous recordings of 78 RPM discs. In all, Killoran recorded 73 sides from 1931 to 1939, mostly issued on the Crown and Decca labels. Particular attention has been given to Killoran's 25 solo recordings and the 8 duets that he recorded with Paddy Sweeney. Reissues have focused almost exclusively on these sides and not material that Killoran recorded as a bandleader. These ensemble recordings were made under a variety of different group names, the Paddy Killoran Trio, the Paddy Killoran Quartet, orchestra directed by Paddy Killoran, Paddy Killoran's Irish American Serenaders, Killoran's Irish Entertainers, Paddy Killoran and his Irish Orchestra, and perhaps most famously, Paddy Killoran and his Pride of Erin Orchestra, which was named for a popular dance hall in New York City at the time. Many of these sides were recorded with various vocalists, Jack Healy, Jim Dwyer, Josephine Byrne, Tim Donovan, Catherine Hart, and George Sweetnam, among others. Instrumentations of the bands varies greatly, with Killoran's fiddle often being the only constant and often being the only performer known on the recordings. But other instrumentalists also included various pianists, accordion players, saxophonists, drummers, banjo players, and clarinetists. We'll start by listening to some of the instrumental selections from the Pride of Erin Orchestra. We're going to start with a set of hornpipes, the Stack of Barley from 1931, and I'll just talk a little bit about one of the conventions in Irish traditional music. They'll play a set of tunes, so it'll be several tunes within each track. They'll play each tune a few times, and they'll just transition right into the next tune. there we have a tune change. So you can hear there, just they go right directly into a tune that's in a different key, and everyone switches at the same time. Really, up until the recording industry in the 20s and 30s started taking place, traditional music was mostly a solo or maybe at most a duet kind of music, and having these ensembles is a fairly new innovation within the realm of Irish traditional music. Next, we'll listen to a couple of jigs. The Primrose Vale and the Rambler, which are better known today as Saddle the Pony and the Kesh. The Irish bands of 1930s New York typically played for a variety of dancers in the city's dance halls. During the Depression years, recent Irish immigrants would have few employment opportunities, and musicians could make decent money playing for the dances. Irish music and dancing would take place, but the groups were also playing popular dance music of the day, and they'd often hire additional horn and saxophone players. Popular dances would include waltzes, the foxtrot, and the quick step, and these would be done either alongside or in different sections, along with Irish ceilidh dancing and Irish set dancing. So we'll move on to a couple of the vocal selections that Killoran's ensembles recorded. This first one is I'll Go Back to the Old Place of Mother McCree by Killoran's Irish American Serenaders from May 1938, and it features vocalist Jack Healy, who also served as the group's saxophone player in a number of settings.
I'm longing for the sunshine of her smile. Just a look into.
So just to be clear, this isn't typical Irish traditional music at all. This is very highly arranged, and it actually sounds maybe a little bit more like the Paul Whiteman Orchestra than, say, the Kilfenora Ceilidh Band. This next selection is perhaps a little bit more typical of the Killoran Group's vocal recordings. This is from 1938, featuring Jim Dwyer and the Killoran Trio. Again, this is more of a Tin Pan Alley Irish-American song that's been orchestrated by the Killoran Group.
When I'm dreaming and my memory goes back once again to a cottage all covered with roses so fair and a calling that's sweeter than any rose there, just a roll in all Killarney.
So Cloran's groups were kind of straddling the traditional music side of things as well as playing popular music of the time. And the Pride of Erin Orchestra, this all kind of culminates with a series of recordings made in on October 27th, 1934. This is the Sweeps Heirloom set, which features the group in full swing as an ensemble sound that includes, but it's not limited to, fiddles, piano, banjo, accordion, and at least two saxophones, and quite possibly clarinet. So there we have kind of an arrangement that's way more complex than the other traditional fare. Starts off the full ensemble sound, moves into a saxophone solo, which is actually another tune called Fly By Night, moves into an accordion solo, which is the tune The Heirloom, and then the group finishes up with the full ensemble playing the sweeps once again to kind of finish things out. So it's a lot more complicated arrangement, maybe closer to an early swing band than it would be, say, Kaylee band or a traditional group of the time. So who were these other musicians that recorded and played with Paddy Cloran? We'll start with the image of Cloran's Irish Orchestra and the man on the far left, Michael Andrews. He's probably the most well-known of Cloran's ensemble's members. Documents show that Michael Patrick Andrews was born on March 10th in Cardiff, Wales, 1902. His mother, Hannah, was of Irish descent, and his father, William Henry, was born in Yorkshire and was a publican by trade. A publican. He was a pub owner. Mm-hmm. Andrews is often referred to as Whitey Andrews, and this isn't just a clever nickname. As you can see in the images, his hair was stark white, even at a very young age. In that Cloran group photo, he's probably in his early 30s. And then the photo here on the far right was probably before that, probably between 1925 and 1930. Whitey Andrews emigrated to the States in 1920, and according to this naturalization documentation at least, Cloran knew Whitey Andrews since August of 1929. In fact, Cloran signed as a witness on Whitey Andrews' petition for citizenship. As for Whitey's musical career, we know through images that he played banjo in other groups besides or possibly before Cloran's groups. Here he is with accordion player Tom Carmody's band at the Leitrim House, which was another famous dance hall in New York. Carmody is the accordion player in the center of the picture there. And he's well known for playing with fiddle player James Morrison, who's also well known for recording in the 70 RPM era. And on Tom Carmody's left is a young Eugene Kelly, who was an influential accordion player in New York as well. Whitey is also the guitar player credited on Michael Coleman's solo recordings in 1934. And it's probably actually Whitey Andrews' greatest claim to fame is that he was a competent guitar accompaniment player up until this point in the 1920s with Michael Coleman. The piano players really weren't that good. They'd miss chord changes. They miss the changes of the keys between tune sets. And Whitey Andrews was a much better accompanist than some of those other musicians. And we'll get a sample of his playing with Michael Coleman. This is Lord Gordon's. Famous Tar Bolton set. Buddy is also the guitar player credited on Paddy Cloran's solo sides, made in 1936. This version of the jig, Geese in the Bog, is actually better known as the Lark's March, and you can hear Whitey Andrews' rhythmic strumming to match the jig beat pattern that's actually very common today in Irish guitar playing. Now, to be specific, Andrews played tenor guitar on these recordings. After the banjo craze of the 1920s began to die down and electric microphones came into the recording studio, guitar companies began to make four-string guitars. This allowed tenor banjo players to begin playing guitar without relearning chord shapes. It sounds like Andrews used standard tenor banjo tuning, CGDA, from low to high pitches. Whitey made his first credit recording back in 1933 with Joe Flanagan of the Flanagan Brothers fame. Joe is on the right in this picture playing the accordion, and his brother Mike is playing banjo on the left. Whitey played guitar on Flanagan's A Half Crown Song, which starts off with a swingin' version of the Teetotaler's Reel, and we can assume that Whitey speaks first on the spoken word introduction to the song.
You're singing us that Half a Crown Song.
All right, then, me bye, I will.
I took my girl to a fancy ball. It was a social hop. We stayed all night until the break of daylight, waiting for the music to stop. Into a restaurant we went, the finest on the street.
So that might be the first recording of a Welshman imitating an Irish accent. It might be an Arsk Fursk, I don't know. Now the opposite side set of hornpipes include banjo accompaniment, which is in likelihood Whitey Andrews' only tenor banjo recording. It's labeled as Sunshine and Off to California, but you might recognize the first tune as The Sweeps, which was that large Cloran ensemble hornpipe that we listened to with the sax solo.
Thank you.
So after the solo recordings at Clorin, Andrews recorded with Clorin in 1936, there are fewer details to be found. According to the 1940 census, Whitty was married to Catherine O'Keefe of Waterford, had a son, Michael Jr., and was still working as a professional musician. He was still playing music in the 50s in New York City, possibly with accordionist Timmy Cronin in Rockaway. And I know he actually also played with Louis E. Quinn of Louis E. Quinn's Shamrock Minstrel fame during that same time period. Michael Andrews passed away in November of 1961. Now we'll move on to talk about Paul Ryan. Not this Paul Ryan, but this Paul Ryan. He was born on June 30th, 1913. He was born in New York City to Irish immigrant parents. His mother, Ellen, was from County Cavan. The Ryan family itself was quite large, and at least two of Paul's brothers, Thomas and James, were also musicians. And I'll note that Paul's brother James is credited with the saxophone solo on the Pride of Erin Orchestra Sweeps Heirloom set that we listened to earlier. And here's a photo of the two brothers. Paul is on the left holding clarinet, and James is on the right holding what looks to be a C melody saxophone. Paul was a multi-instrumentalist, and besides clarinet, he was known to have played fiddle, viola, accordion, and possibly other band instruments. So how do we know that Paul played with Clorin's groups? Well, he tells us.
At that same session, we met one of the real old fiddle players of New York. He had been formally trained in music, and his name was Paul Ryan. And he told us a little about himself.
My father came from Leeks, and my mother came from Cavan.
Yeah.
County Cavan.
And you've been playing music as long as you remember?
Oh, yes, yeah, all my life.
With whom, mostly?
Well, with Paddy Killoran most of the time, for years. I was over in Ireland when I was 1932 at the Eucharistic Congress.
Yeah. So, I haven't been there since that.
No, I wasn't there since.
So that was recorded by Kieran MacMahuna, an Irish television radio personality in 1962 in New York City. And this is actually the manifest of the return trip from that trip that the Clorin's band took to Ireland in 1932 for the Eucharistic Congress. You can see the other band members there. Up top you have Paul Ryan, Michael Andrews, Jim McGinn, who is the piano player at the time, Jack Healy, and Paddy Killoran. Notice Andrews and Jack Healy are crossed off. It's because they weren't citizens at the time. They moved to a non-citizens manifest for the same voyage. Reg Hall has identified Paul Ryan as the second fiddle player on Killoran's 1931 Crown recording with accordion player Dennis Murphy, who is pictured here from a promo picture of 1926 of the Paddy Killoran Quartet. We'll listen to some reels from that recording session. Later in the 1950s, Paul recorded some duets on viola with Paddy Killoran for the Dublin label. You can hear Paul's viola is doubling Killoran's melody an octave lower than a normal fiddle would. Dublin Records was originally established by Paddy Killoran and John O'Neill and began issue recordings in 1958. John and his brother James O'Neill were from County Clare and emigrated to New York in the 1950s. The label offered several LPs, including releases by the Tullochaley Band, the Kilfenora, and the famous Meet Paddy Canny album, as well as issuing recordings by John O'Neill himself. Incidentally, John ran the house band at the Jager House in Manhattan in the 1950s, which is a popular Irish dance hall. The band often featured Paddy Cloran and also Paul Ryan on clarinet. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to identify when Paul Ryan passed away, but I do know through New York accordion player Luke O'Malley that he taught extensively throughout New York City in the 50s and 60s, teaching accordion to Dan Collins and fiddle to Dan's sister Kathleen for a number of years. So we'll end with the image of Cloran and his Irish orchestra once more. As I mentioned before, other musicians that I've been able to identify include Jim McGinn, who's the piano player seated there. The saxophonist could be Jack Healy, who's also that vocalist that we listened to earlier. And the accordion player could possibly be William McElligott. And the drummer is still 100% unidentified. So the hunt continues in the old recordings, dance halls, and sidewalks of 1930s New York. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff and Joshua. So any questions for our presenters this afternoon? Yes, sir.
Was it accordion and banjo recording of Sunshine? Was it accordion? It sounded like there were two banjos on it, one doing rhythm, one doing lead.
I'd have to listen to it, the hornpipe one.
Yeah. Okay.
Want me to listen to it again?
Yeah, have another listen. It just sounded like there was one doing rhythm, one doing playing the melody.
Could be too. I don't know if he's playing way up high on the banjo neck either to kind of get that. And I know like some people theorize it might have been maybe even a banjo uke, but I hear some deeper tones or deeper notes than I think a banjo uke would be able to, or a banjello would be able to pull off. But it could be you know, since Joe and Mike Flanagan were still playing during the time, it might be Mike Flanagan playing the lead, and Whitey might be doing the backup, because Whitey would have played primarily tenor banjo as a rhythmic instrument, not necessarily lead instrument.
Any other questions? I have a question for Joshua. So do you know of many, it seems like these recordings are fairly recent times, 1950s and later and things like that. Is there much on records from the early 1890s to 1950s on Flamingo?
Not in this collection, but yes, there are definitely like acetate, right, recordings and 78s of flamenco at the turn of the century in the 1890s and it was very popular and especially prior to the Spanish Civil War, like even leading up to the Spanish Civil War, it was really popular. But then it went out of favor because of the politics. They were seen as mostly nationalists that were Republican, not loyalists, right, to the coup. So, as far as this collection or shared collection is concerned, it all begins with the Americans and with the technology that was provided by the Air Force Base that was established in 1954. So, yeah.
Thank you.
As far as the traditional tunes go, there's going to be a traditional music scene in Northern Ireland as well, and a lot of those tunes are going to be the same between North and South. Some of the song tradition is definitely different, but if you go to a session today in Belfast, you're going to be playing the same tunes that you would down in the Republic. In more recent years, there's been a bit more of a stylistic development from some of the Belfast flute players that actually is interesting. It's kind of rooted in a Leitrim flute player by the name of John McKenna, but it's that kind of style is actually kind of spread across Ireland as well a little bit more.
Okay, thank you.